Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Widow's Kiss by Jane Feather, narrated by Jenny Sterlin. This work is copyrighted 2001 by Jane Feather. This recording is copyrighted 2001 by Recorded Books. As a lone and wealthy widow in Henry VIII's kingdom, Lady Guinevere Mallory knew that she was in a precarious position. But she never imagined that when danger arrived, it would be in the form of Hugh of Beaucaire, a man with the bluest eyes she had ever seen. And now, The Widow's Kiss.
Prologue. Derbyshire, England. September 1536. The woman stood by the open window, the soft breeze stirring the folds of her blue silk hood as it hung down her back. She stood very still and straight, her dark gown shadowy against the dense velvet of the opened window curtains. She heard him in the corridor outside, his heavy, lumbering step. She could picture his large frame lurching from side to side as he approached. Now he was outside the great oak door. She could hear his laboured breathing. She could picture his bloodshot eyes, his reddened countenance, his lips slack with exertion. The door burst open. Her husband filled the doorway, his richly jewelled gown swirling about him.
"By God, madam, you would dare to speak to me in such wise at my own table, in the hearing of our guests, of the household scullions even?"
A shower of spittle accompanied the slurred words as he advanced into the chamber, kicking the door shut behind him. It shivered on its hinges. The woman stood her ground beside the window, her hands clasped quietly against her skirts. "And I say to you, husband, that if you ever threaten one of my daughters again, you will rue the day." Her voice was barely above a whisper, but the words came at him with the power of thunder. For a second he seemed to hesitate. Then he lunged for her with clenched fists upraised. Still she stood her ground, a slight derisive smile on her lips, her eyes, purple as sloes, fixed upon his face with such contempt he bellowed in drunken rage. As he reached her, one fist aimed at her pale face beneath its jewelled headdress, his only thought to smash the smile from her lips, to close the hateful contempt in her eyes. She stepped aside. Her foot caught his ankle, and the speed and weight of his charge carried him forward. For a second he seemed to hover at the very brink of the dark space beyond the low-silled window. Then he twisted and fell. A shriek of astounded terror accompanied his plunge to the flagstones below. The woman twitched aside the curtain so that she could look down without being seen. At first, in the dark depths below the window, she could make out nothing. Then came the sound of upraised voices, the tread of many feet. Light flickered as torchmen came running from the four corners of the courtyard. And now, in the light, she could see the dark, crumpled shape of her husband. How small he looked, she thought, clasping her elbows across her breast with a little tremor. So much malevolence, so much violence, reduced, deflated to that inert heap. And then she seemed to come to life. She moved back swiftly to the far side of the chamber where a small door gave on to the guard-robe. She slipped into the small privy and stood for a second, listening. Running feet sounded in the corridor beyond her chamber. There was a loud knocking. Then she heard the latch lift. As the door was flung wide, she stepped out of the guard-robe, hastily smoothing down her skirts. An elderly woman stood in the doorway, her hair tucked beneath a white linen coif. "Aye, aye, aye!"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?